October 3rd meeting of the Energy and Environment Committee. And just to call the roll, Mary is not here yet. Lynn Eckert?
Here.
Jonathan Heppner?
Here.
Brian Waltman is not able to make it tonight, did you say?
Yes, he had a family.
And I'm here, so we do have a quorum. And I'd like to start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, and has everyone had a chance to review the minutes of September 5th, 2019 meeting?
I'll move it.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, motion passes, and send that around. I made one little tiny typo change.
All right.
Well, it's right on there.
Okay, perfect. Well, I'll fix that.
And then I'd like to welcome Adam Jones to give us an update of Ulster County Soil and Water
Would
District.
Would you come on up?
Sure.
Yeah.
Right. Usually have a buffer or not. Obviously, this is my first time, but I want to thank the committee for having me.
Oh, and did you know, I don't know if everybody knows, that we have another legislator from Dutchess County with us tonight. Should you want to introduce yourself and then
yeah,
tell us?
Oh,
you did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. And, all right, so...
So I think what we'll do in terms of the agenda is we'll hear from Adam, and then from Amanda, and then from our guests from Dutchess County, so that unless you're speaking to a specific resolution, we'll wait.
I think
but
she was just observing.
I'm just observing, so I'm
great. Oh, wonderful.
I'm happy to say hello again.
You're good. Okay.
I'm here to listen to all the great things you're doing in Ulster and write them all down and take them home. That's all.
I want to say I just came back from Orange County, and we do have that reputation. Thanks in no small part to the wonderful work of Amanda and Adam, and why don't you give us your update?
You know, Tim is here.
Sure.
Too.
Yeah,
oh, Tim, I'm sorry. I didn't see you tucked back
you
there.
Too, Tim.
And so we'll do the three updates and then go to the resolutions.
Okay. I brought some handouts. I wasn't sure who all here was familiar. Was at the last time there was the district had come to speak to this committee. So,
been a while.
And I will say the biggest news is that Gary Capella, who had been the executive director for the last 20-some years, retired. His last day was on Friday.
Thank you.
And that is why I am here. I am, as of Monday, the acting executive director for the Soil and Water District.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And my, if you're interested, since you come from across the river.
Yeah,
the extra
one.
There you go.
Thank you.
You know us well. And so I've actually been with the district since 2009. I've been leading the Ashokan Watershed Stream Management Program, which I'm sure most of you are aware, the portion of Ulster County that feeds into the Ashokan Reservoir, which has funding through New York City Department of Environmental Protection, partnership between Ulster County Soil and Water and Cornell Cooperative Extension of Ulster County forms that entity. So I've been a district employee since 2009, but kind of confined to the higher parts of the water or of the county up in the Catskills. That said, my background's in natural resource management. I went to like an ag-based school, so coming up to speed on some of the agricultural programming, but certainly tapping the brains of the wonderful staff that we have over at the district. So in terms of what we do, we provide a lot of opportunities just in terms of our partnership with entities like Natural Resource Conservation Service, which is a part of Department of Agriculture, so we're able to tap into some of their funding streams. We work hand in hand with them. In fact, we share an office with them in terms of our Highland office, although the district conservationist, Kathy Capella, is actually Gary's wife, retired in July, so they're in a state of flux right now as well. But we are hearing that a fellow Oscar from over in, I believe, Dutchess County, actually, out of the office over there. And I'm not positive where their office is. But anyways, I believe that he's going to be backfilling Kathy. So, and then he'll be stationed at the Highland office, which would be a nice opportunity to kind of revive some of the personnel that had dwindled through NRCS over the last couple of years. And they're also hoping to staff another engineering position out of there in the not-too-distant future, so that would also really help complete that partnership that has provided a lot of support to a lot of the agricultural entities of the county. You know, on a day-to-day basis, we're working anywhere from, you know, individual projects on farms to broader scale planning endeavors. You know, we work closely with Department of Environment, and as I mentioned, Cornell Cooperative Extension, both in the watershed and outside of the watershed, and just kind of help to serve as a technical entity or lead for water and soil resource concerns within the county. Let me see. What else could I mention? Oh, Fawn was kind enough to pull the original resolution that formed us. For anybody who's unaware, we're organized a little bit differently than a regular county department. We're a political subdivision, and we're actually organized through state law and then a resolution of the back then Board of Supervisors, but you know, this body, which enacted us in 1965. So I report more directly to our Board of Directors.
And we appoint your Board of Directors. So.
Exactly. You guys appoint the Board of Directors, as well as have two of your colleagues serving on the board, Kathy Nolan and Jim DeLong. So does anybody have any questions? I mean, interrupt me or else I'll just keep talking. So.
I love your plant sale that you do every year. I see you have the foreman here for last year.
Yeah, so that was our last published newsletter, which references the sale that happens each spring. And it was definitely Gary's favorite program that we ran. So.
All my myrtle and pachysandra and a lot of other things are from there. From you.
Yeah. So anybody who's unaware, it's a bare root sale, so we provide bare root stock at a pretty reasonable price relative to the nursery. And can provide a lot of both native trees and shrubs and ground covers, but not necessarily always native from that sale. A lot of stuff.
You also have like the bat boxes and butterfly boxes.
Yes.
And
wood ducks,
yeah,
bluebirds, which interestingly enough are mostly handmade by Sullivan County Soil and Waters District Manager. He's been making those for us for the last several years, and then we were able to sell them. So that's one of the revenue programs that the district runs. We get about a third of our funding from the county appropriation, and then we supplement that through state money, which comes through like agricultural and environmental management program, and then also, like I mentioned, through the STREAM program, we have funding through New York City, but then we run a couple of revenue programs as well as provide services to walk-in clients who might come in for mapping needs and things like that. But the revenue programs are our fish sale, which we do annually, the plant sale, and
Has somebody been selected, or is your former position going to be filled?
That's a good question. We're in the middle of ending our current New York City agreement. They're 5-year funding agreements with the city. The new one will take effect, or should take effect, the beginning of the new year, assuming it doesn't get tripped up in their registration process. But our current agreement lasts till the end of March, and we would hope that the new agreement's obviously online by then. There's probably an opportunity to reconfigure a little bit. My goal, and this is getting a little bit ahead, obviously, based on what the board decides in terms of making a permanent executive director. But if it did happen to be me, I'll want to stay more involved in that program, you know, directly involved, than maybe Gary was in the past. So I try to split my time more, and that might give us an opportunity to actually bring in an engineering position through the STREAM program. So somebody that has kind of the geology, geomorphology, and water resource engineering background that would really help, I think, the existing employees really work to their full capacity. And you know, the cost of an in-house engineer as opposed to hiring a consultant can be pretty staggering, especially when you're getting into you know, the really specific, like, stream process-related engineering that's a component of, like, water resource engineering. So it remains to be seen, but in some capacity, there will be, you know, staffing changes that would make up for my lack of being able to be full-time up there.
Thank you.
And the only other thing I was going to add, because I don't know if it's been discussed in this committee, but we did, and maybe it's moved because I hear that the executive had put his budget out, but there was a proposed increase in our annual budget, which is mostly attributable to the cost of increased health insurance costs, which the district's provided. So just between 2016 and now, I think our insurance costs had gone up 34% or so. So
what was the request?
It was an additional, it was a 5% increase, so just under $5,000. Our previous award was $91,500 last year, and we'd asked for $96,075 this year. So that would only offset a fraction of those increased costs. And, you know, I think in whole, the county funds provide for about one-third of the district's current staff.
Yeah, so he released his budget today, so I don't know specifically.
Yeah, I haven't looked at it either,
but,
so I'm not sure.
If it is not, we still have the ability to discuss and propose budgetary amendments as the legislature. So it's, you know, it's not mute totally yet.
Okay. But. Well, if anybody had any follow-up questions related to that increase, you know, certainly reach out to me, and I'd be more than happy to provide some additional information on it. I mean, I think it was summarized in the request when it was submitted, but you know, we're obviously here to answer.
Did I hear
questions.
You say the health insurance costs are increasing 30%?
Not annually. This is going back to 2016 to now. I don't know what the cost increase was, but it's gone up pretty steadily over the last couple of years.
Okay.
One of the disadvantages that the district's had is we're small in terms of employee numbers, so we don't hit that 20-person threshold. We're not under the county's like health insurance, so. We provide it, you know, we have to go out and get it ourselves, and we've certainly been subject to the increases that, you know, everybody's facing.
Would it be possible for you to email that proposal that you had?
Yeah, I can share that. Do you want to share it with...
If you send it to Fawn,
I can get it to the committee. I'm sure, I'll bet that
Amber might
Amber
already
has
have
it, but...
Yeah, Amber definitely has it, but I can resend
you
it
just
to make
a
sure
note
it's...
for Amber to send that. Thank you, I appreciate it.
Yeah, and so just to speak a little bit more, and then I'll be done because I don't want to take up too much time. You know, we leverage the county funds, obviously, and I did like a rough calculation, but for the for 2018, we brought in just under $3 million in terms of programming, technical assistance, and those type of things. So that's like a 32-to-1 return on the county dollars, you know. So it's pretty substantial in terms of, you know, the money that we really rely on from the county to really make sure we hit the whole suite of potential programming that we can offer.
And just to go back a minute to the Ashokan Water Stream Management, do I recall that Cornell is also working on that?
Yeah, so Cornell Cooperative Extension is a partner, and also I believe you're taking up the resolution later on for the DOE Cornell partnership, which is also a component of it. So I misspoke when I didn't include Department of Environment in that, but Aaron Bennett's been up with our program for a while now. So
thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Well, nice to meet everyone.
Good luck.
Thanks.
You can leave that door open when you go out now. I think we're.
It was
okay,
just to block the
sound. Yeah.
We're not in executive session.
And Mary is here. Mary Warren.
Yes. Okay. Let's see. Amanda, did you want to go next?
I didn't have any.
Or are you just, you're here for the resolutions? And Tim, would you like to give us a quick update on ACRA and what's going on and the planning process, et cetera?
Cornerstone is reviewing the comments that they were given, and so they're going to be revising the report. I understand from Mark he did meet with DEC about where they are in the review process, because, you know, he already gave them a preliminary draft, and she had not looked at it yet. So I don't know if we're going to hit the target date of having the board approve in October, or if it's going to be pushed to the November target. So I don't know. That's up in the air at this point.
See, but you already have set a date for a budget hearing, is that right?
That's Monday.
That's Monday. Okay. Yep. And then the board will meet, and ideally they will set a date for a public hearing sometime in that 45-day comment period?
That's correct. That's good. But they have to approve the draft.
Yes.
So I assume that the same meeting they're going to approve the draft is also going to be the meeting where they're going to set the public hearing.
Great.
So if they can do it on the October 28th meeting, that would be great. That's what we've been shooting for. If not, it may go to the November.
Well, does your schedule depend on DEC's getting back to you?
No, but it depends on Mark making sure he gets his comments done. So I assume he's going to get them done. I hope. But, you know, it's very possible that after his meeting with DEC, I don't know what came out of that, that they may have already given him a lot more work to do, so I'm not sure.
The DEC's had the opportunity to review each step of the way, so it's probably unlikely. It's certainly not going to take 7 years or whatever.
six years and 4 months.
Yeah. Okay.
And as you had mentioned, we have our public hearing for the budget on Monday, which we do every middle of October every year. I will tell you this, as long as I've been executive director for ten years, we've never had anybody show up other than...
Don't jinx it.
Other than, one year we were going to get rid of the roll-off business, and then we had about probably 30 people in the room. But other than that, that was the only year that anybody ever came.
And supervisors.
Yeah. Usually we open the meeting, we look at each other in 20 minutes, and the chairman decides when to close the meeting. This meeting, though, I do want to mention this. We are having it immediately after the public hearing, and just because of timing, we are going to have a special meeting. And the purpose of that special meeting is just to approve the two transportation contracts and the final disposal contract.
There are some questions.
We were trying to get them done prior to the last board meeting, but one of the haulers in the final destination did not get back to us. So, and I like to do them all on the same day. God forbid we approve transportation and something falls through with the disposal, I'd be in a lot of trouble. I want to get them all together, get them set. So we are going to approve those three contracts. I assume.
Are those contracts on your website?
They will be. They will be if they're, because they're going to be on with the resolution. The resolution will be attached to that. And we usually do that on Friday, so they'll probably be in tomorrow on the website. So that's Monday. I don't think I have anything else to report unless the committee has questions for me.
I just want to say that there was some discussion about the solid waste, the Solid Waste Planning Commission, want to keep them straight, seeing a redline version, and the board, of course, seeing a redline version, but that once all those changes were accepted, it would go to the public hearing as a clean document, essentially. Mm-hmm. That's what the board would approve. But
right.
there will be in between. There were comments from all of the participants in the Solid Waste Planning not all, but several. And hopefully many of those comments will be incorporated as they can be.
And to remind everybody of the process, the Board of Directors will approve the draft and at the same time set the public hearing. DEC wants it open for 45 days, and they would like to have the public hearing somewhere in the middle of those 45 days. I counted out 21 days, and then I found out that it's actually a legislative night, one of your legislative meetings, which I didn't know. That was brought to my attention, so I'll switch it a day or so. This is if we get it in October. And then after it's released for 45 days, and what's supposed to happen is we address the public's comments, and we send it officially to DEC for their review, and then they get back to us with any comments, and then it's supposed to go to the legislature for a final adoption. So that's the way DEC explained to me, which I...
My sense is as long as we're making progress and not delaying that, the DEC... If a one-month extension is needed or something.
I'm very comfortable with that. And the reason I say that is because they're very happy that we're keeping them in the loop. And as long as we're keeping them in the loop, if it goes off a month or two, They're not concerned with it. We're not going to get in trouble. The RRA is not going to get in trouble. Because what happened, if you recall, last year we had comments back after 6 years and 4 months for the plan. We were supposed to address it within 60 days. I called DECS. That's a little unreasonable, I think. And then at the time, the board had decided to ask for a one-year extension because Gus was being discussed. And their point was, if Gus is going to go through, you have to write a whole new plan anyway. So can you give us 1 year to try to figure out if Gus is going to go through? That's the Green Ulster Sullivan Solid Waste Authority, for your knowledge, we call Gus. So we got that 1 year extension. So the technical deadline to get this submission into them was August 30th, which we missed. But again, I've been in contact with DEC quite a bit, and they're okay as long as they see that we're making movement, we're making progress. They're not holding us to any date. The other thing I want to mention, because the county exec released its budget today, is the net service fee letter went out, which we do at the last week of September every year, which we have to get to the county, and there's no net service fee at all from the agency. We're completely solvent, self-sustaining, so, which is the seventh year, something like that. I think the last time we got was 2013 for 2012, so it was the last payment we got was for 2012. So letters went out to all 24 municipalities. I do that after September's meeting every year, informing them of all the new rates. Even though some municipalities don't have transfer stations, they may still use us for the library that is discarding a lot of books. They want to recycle and things like that. So. They also use maybe grinder services, so there's other things in there. But we sent it, in the interest of complete transparency, I always mail it out to all 24 municipalities with the rates and informing of the public hearing. So that went out. And the only rate, again, out of all the rates we have, including pool charges for the towns and box rentals and so forth, the only rate we increased this year was the tipping fee, and it went from 103 to 105. And that's the first time we raised our tipping fee since 2014.
Do you also have a household hazardous waste day coming
yes.
up?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, you're right. Thank you for reminding me. That's coming up on, I'm going to give you the day here.
The 13th? Is that?
It's a Saturday. The 19th.
19th, okay.
How often a year do you do this?
3 times a year. We always do it the middle of April, the middle of July, and the middle of October. And the middle of April and the middle of October, those 2 days are at our Kingston facility near the Rhinecliff Bridge. And our July is always held at the DEC headquarters in New Paltz. That way we try to capture the southern part of the county.
They take television, though, and other things year-round.
Yep, that's free of charge, even for your constituents. We're still taking it from Dutchess. So, we take electronics free of charge. We take the services of an engineering firm. That's important. Martin LeJudis, the board of directors, retain the services. Sorry, I'm back towards you. Sorry, Kathy.
I can hear you. Thank
okay.
you.
The board of directors did retain the services of the Barton LeJudis, which I don't know if you might be familiar with their firm.
We use them a lot.
Yeah, we use them
a lot. They're big in the solid waste industry. Matter of fact, I had breakfast with the CEO the other day. But they're a very large firm, and they have roughly 300 employees or so. And different states, but we retain the services to design what we call an eco park, which in that proposal is expansion of our composting facility, which would, if we were to move down that path, we would shut down the system that we have it right now, which is very close to the toll booths, because we do get some odor complaints. So we move it further into the property. We would keep a nice buffer of trees around, and the prevailing winds would actually go in the same direction, but be much further away. So I got my fingers crossed we'll go through with that. That's in this eco park, what we like to call it. The other proposal that's in it, whether or not all these things are going to go through, I don't know, but these are These are on the plans anyway. Building a new administration building, and I know the board had an architect in from New Paltz. And
Rick Alfondre,
was it? Yeah, is that what his name was?
Yeah.
That's the first time I met him. He specializes in lead platinum design for buildings. So if we go down this path, one of the things the board wants to look at is go down this lead certification for the new administration building. And the reason for building a new administration building is they would also like to convert the existing office building into an environmental educational center, targeted for children and college kids, where they can come in and they can learn all about the waste recycling. And the other thing we would like to do is construct a residential drop-off, which would mimic a town drop-off center. So you'd have roll-off containers with recycling. Because you wouldn't believe the number of, because we're under our permit, just so you know, under our permit with DEC, we're not allowed to take passenger cars during the week. We're a commercial facility. It's extremely dangerous. You have large loaders. If somebody from the general public that doesn't understand the garbage industry steps back in the wrong direction, they could be killed pretty quickly, very easily. So because of that, DEC only allows passenger cars. And on Saturdays, when we're very slow, we don't have the large packer trucks in front of the loaders and so forth. So, but if I put a residential drop-off out at the beginning of the property, I can have a safe spot for a homeowner to come in and drop off their bag of garbage. Because we get homeowners in all day long. I had one come in yesterday from Phoenicia that just moved up from New York City and bought a house, and then they live up here full time. And they didn't understand the system. They got a car full of garbage bags. So I escorted them down and stayed with them while they get rid of their trash. Anyway, say it's a public meeting, but it crossed my fingers I didn't get in trouble. But I felt comfortable enough to escort
them
down.
You gave them a tour, I think, is what you did.
I gave them a tour. And they were very appreciative of the tour. They weren't driving around with stinky garbage bags in the car. But they do know well enough that they can come out on Saturday, but other than that, they're supposed to be using any Shandaken resident, Saugerties transfer station, which Shandaken residents are allowed to use. So, but what I want to do is I would like to build this residential drop-off for those type of people that can come in and be in a safe environment and still get rid of their bags of recycling and that so forth. Wrapped up into that is also a full-time HHW building. So instead of having three events a year, we would eliminate those and from Monday through Friday or maybe Monday through Saturday, have a full-time HHW building. And then incorporate with that e-waste, where I can have a full-time e-waste. Now, if I put all these together, I only need one or two employees. So full-time e-waste collection, and then on top of that, we purchased a bagging machine for our compost operation. I want to sell bags of compost there, maybe rain barrels, whole small home composting units. So if I can wrap that all together into one package, I can save on labor, and I think it would fit. I know in my mind how I want to do it, so I know the flow of traffic will fit well. So that's my dream list. That's my Christmas list.
Might consider asking the designer, the architect, I guess, to leave space for a possible reuse center. Those of us who've seen the facility in New Paltz were so impressed, and not to change anything, but just to have them consider that maybe in the future, to sort of maybe block off an area that could be used for that down the road.
Well, I think that's a real possibility. And one of the reasons I say that is if you know our facility well, you know the way things are coming in. We purchased two parcels last year, totaling about 75 acres, in addition to our 35 acres or 40 acres. So we have a total of 115 or something like that now. But what I want to do is I'm trying to locate the compost in the deepest area of the property to avoid any odor complaints as best as possible, I'm leaving a nice tree buffer around it.
Yeah.
But with that, I want to incorporate a road that would go down to Ulster Landing Road, because our parcel runs all the way down to Ulster Landing Road. So along that roadway, we could possibly put in a reuse center, or even a little more up front, too. So towards the entrance. I will tell you this, because I think it was mentioned publicly, pretty sure, in the Town of Ulster meeting, but the town had approached us and ask us if we could set aside 2 or 3 acres for a new firehouse, which I'm, ultimately it's not my decision as executive director, it's the board's decision, but I would be supportive of that as long as the board is. So, but first we have to lay out what we want to do. I really don't want anything up near the road anyway, you know, from my perspective. I don't want things taken away from the road a little bit. But so if it were up on the road, I don't think that would bother us. But again, it would be up to the board to make that approval.
So along the same lines, you know, putting stuff in your facility that you just talking about in conceptual, but as part of education, I think that the repair cafe approach would, it just fits so neatly with what we're trying to encourage. So I would put that in the education center. And just that I think that things end up in the trash because we have been encouraged to think that throwing away is the most effective, efficient, cost effective. And if somebody could walk into UCRA and walk back out with the same thing that they came in with, but now it works. Win-win.
Right.
Win.
Okay. That could be. That building's large enough. We could,
yeah. Then you can take the stuff that's fixed if they don't want it and take it right down to the reuse. So.
Right.
And so, those volunteers are already out there. You wouldn't even really need an employee. You just,
that's right.
Give the volunteers
have,
a place to,
space.
To do it.
And it's happening around the county, so it's not that they need that space. It's just that I think to incorporate that into our understanding of that this place is not just to take things and throw them away,
right.
Get them out of your sight. It's how do you take care of something that you purchased through its entire life cycle.
So would you envision, you know, have this being done like once a month, have a repair cafe once a month? Are you envisioning full time or what?
Yeah, whatever the market would bear, basically. You know, you start out with something like that, or even quarterly, and if a lot of people are coming and you've got a lot of volunteers, maybe you go to once a week. You know,
right.
Just whatever that educational center would foster and draw.
I mean, we could even incorporate that now. I mean, I have a room.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, we do have the board room.
I think it'd be great.
But,
I don't know what your closest group is and how happy they are with their existing facility, but my sense is that the people who do the repair cafes like to go out and do this.
Didn't
as
have someone
a,
come
outreach
repair cafe?
Right, right.
To change the way people think about
we met him.
Their tools, for example. I've had tools sharpened at a repair cafe. Small electronics repaired at a repair cafe. And
New Pulse, they have a welder and things like that. A gentleman addressed the solid waste committee who like organizes them around the county and helps people organize them. So
we should maybe get that name to Tim and see maybe if it is something to start soon.
Tim was at that meeting with John Wackman.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, John's great.
Yeah.
So
it would be basically just realizing the
I think that'd be a sweet offering from the facility.
She's going to end it sweet.
Yeah.
All right.
Very hip.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you, Tim.
Thanks, Tim.
You all have a good night.
Yes, you too.
Nice meeting you.
Great to meet you, too. That sounds like exactly what health judges need. So we might come over.
Don't blame them. Once you have it all planned, we might come over and say, could we can persuade Duchess to do that. The household hazardous waste particularly is a little struggle.
I know.
At least like 3 ounces a year is not enough. But,
I know your executive director over there pretty well.
Yeah. Lindsay?
Yeah, Lindsay.
Yeah.
I sit in a lot of meetings with her.
Yeah.
You know, especially on the regional council.
And in the meantime, if you haven't been to the New Pulse facility, take a field trip over there.
They're
really
open Saturdays.
Just Saturday?
No, they're open during the week too. It's all the way at the end of that Clearwater Road, and one of our legislators, Laura Petit, runs it, and it's amazing.
Good night. Amanda, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but would you be able to give us, like, just a very brief overview of any changes, any significant changes in the budget for...
I just went online to look, and the executive's kind of high-level document but the actual budget itself is not out.
His presentation earlier today, he did highlight that there will be a budget increase of 15% for
Department of Environment.
Okay, great.
But beyond that, knowing
Okay, do you have a wish list?
We have her penciled in for next month.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Very good.
To come do it more formally.
With more information.
And I think it's in the
when you've had a chance to look at it.
what are they calling it? The Green Jobs Opportunity Academy.
Yeah, the program. They're going to start a program, through a public-private partnership at SUNY Ulster, 8-week program that trains specifically in green technology level jobs, with raising private funds for scholarships specifically aimed at veterans,
low income,
long term unemployed, women. LGBTQ amongst, you know, that, so it seemed very interesting.
Great. Okay, then I think we should get to the resolutions. Legislator Waro, do you want to, let me put it on the table.
I'll move it for discussion.
Second. This is number 409?
Yes.
A climate emergency?
Correct.
Yes.
This is very similar to what the town has already passed. And you know that there was someone that came and spoke on it. So Gene and Joe and I are...
No disagreement from me.
I think it's fantastic to have it come forward from a bipartisan effort and from a community that's been a climate leader.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention we were certified as Bronze Climate Smart Community last night.
Yes, congratulations.
So that was very good.
Did you hear that?
Can I add my name as a co-sponsor?
Likewise.
Oh, me too.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Okay. Any questions or concerns? I would like to call the vote on resolution number 409. Declaring a climate emergency.
Aye.
Mary. resolution passes. Okay. And next we have resolution number 412, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county. Cornell Cooperative Extension, the Department of the Environment. I think we kind of mentioned this already, but is there anything you would like to add? Or
I'll move it.
Second.
Again, this is a five-year, this would be the second five-year agreement that we would be entering into as kind of the third leg of the stool of the Chopin Basin Program with Cooperative Extension and Soil and Water. And this funds a full-time staff person, including Fringe, as a county employee. And that person is focused on flood hazard mitigation planning programs in the Chopin Basin towns. And they provide a lot of technical assistance and outreach investments in those communities around these issues, and also as well as coordination back to county, state, other agencies. So this is a unique opportunity that we are able to have an environmental planner focused on flood hazard mitigation and flood response planning.
And if I could just say, most of my district is in either this, most of my district is in this watershed. Some of it is in the Neverson Groundout watershed. These programs have been invaluable. It's just changed the course of the streams and the course of lives. And in some of the flood-prone areas, it's going to save lives. It's science-based. It's brought the community together in incredible ways. So I'm very grateful. If the sponsors wouldn't object, I'd like to have my name added to this one as well.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Well, any other questions or comments? I'd like to call the question on resolution number 412, approving the contract with Cornell Cooperative Extension and of Ulster County and the Department of the Environment related to the Ashokan Water Stream Management Program.
Aye.
Aye.
All in favor? Okay. Anyone opposed? Motion carries. And resolution number 416, establishing a policy for the consideration of solar arrays on all new or renovated replaced roofs on Ulster County buildings.
I'll move it.
Second.
E.L., please.
I believe this was postponed in Public Works last night, two nights ago, partly because the original draft was modified in, and came to us in a new version, and it improved in some places, but it left out, I think, some of the things the sponsor wanted, and there were also some suggestions of additional ways to think about this. I have to say that I personally am a little concerned to focus solely on rooftop solar when the rooftops, we have about 40 buildings. Some of them are quite old. Some of them are obviously not going to be useful for solar. They're more like sheds or small buildings. And I ask, and maybe we should do this first, is get a sense of the total square footage of that. It's probably 200,000 square feet is what I'm guessing. Maybe it's twice that, maybe it's half that. But in any case, we have acres of land, and we have 2 megawatts and another 2 megawatts coming on ground-based solar. Some of these roofs might be, for example, painted white and reduce the energy consumption of the building at a fraction of the cost of building in roof structures that hold solar. So I was concerned that this was too overarching and didn't allow, because Herb Litz was saying we should have an engineer report in each case, and that's an added expense on each of these projects. So I was thinking we could let DPW maybe help us get a sense of how many buildings really we should focus on, and if any of those that look like they might at all be suitable for solar, then we should make this apply to them. But at least right now, I'm not sure that a policy that says every project has to have this, it just seems like it might generate costs without as much benefit.
Legislator?
Because it didn't, it was postponed in Public Works. Well, I think, you know, it's a good first step for those issues to be worked out. I make a motion that we postpone an environment.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yeah, I just want to say before we go on, I had the sort of opposite reaction in that I felt that the consideration, explore and consider, was very almost nebulous, that I do agree that some buildings are inappropriate, and certainly if they're shaded, you know, there are criteria that can rule out even the consideration other than stating, you know, why a building over a certain size maybe. But what we've seen in the past is that the consideration seems to be an afterthought, and it's only if the concern is raised. Now I know that that you have a sustainability, a proactive way of dealing, and maybe you can explain it better than I can. But you know, it was the family court that raised a red flag for me, because it required a feasibility study, and I've had you know, some engineers and green building experts and solar experts say that they would have come to a different conclusion, and also that we need to do a full cost benefit analysis, not just what does it cost to stabilize this roof enough to support solar. And the other thing I just want to mention is that the purpose of you know, trying to utilize rooftops wherever possible, wherever feasible, not, you know, if it really is unrealistic, but it is that, well, first of all, when you do a ground-mounted system, you have to build that support. You have to put those pieces rather than resting it on a roof that is already a structure. So there's an extra cost for that. But then the life cycle, carbon footprint cost has to be factored in. And I understand under Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act that there will be a social cost of carbon factor developed. So, I think there's more work to be done on this, but I think that Legislator Petit also, we've been talking about doing this for a while, and I think she wanted to put something forward so that we really do something about it. We have a new year coming up, and just not to have to go through this same questioning process every time there is a building, to have that be part of the design process, even if it's like an environmental assessment form where you have some boxes to check, and if it's completely inappropriate, you don't have to do anything more. But if it's potentially possible, then, you know, there needs to be a protocol with how to move forward.
And I would say that it should be absolutely, I agree with all of that, that it needs to, you need to look at roofs, especially when you're entering into some kind of roof repair or replacing the membrane, any kind of with that. We have discussed internally the idea of doing multiple buildings and doing flex deck, doing a structural analysis, so that we know that information not only on roof condition, but of kind of the ability to support the panels. We've done lots of back of the envelope calculations on how much rooftop we have. But again, when we're looking at a small department and the kind of resources that we have, especially when it comes to staff, to manage procurement and contracting for projects, we are definitely choosing to focus on larger scale arrays where we know for one project we can do a megawatt, 2 megawatts at this point in time. I agree that in a climate emergency it's an all of the above kind of approach, but we do have to temper that with what is the most effective way to use our staff time to do some of these projects. So maybe going after a standalone roof project, our first priority is going to be to build out a solar farm.
First priority is?
To do a large scale project. Just because there's a tremendous administrative burden or just a workload associated with any project. So let's go and do the most effective, largest ones possible. We do have some sense of what roofs would be near term, to do. I think we're
using your power authority to go through the Quarryville site right now, and we might look at some ways to do that where we could look at multiple buildings and get some pricing on those a little quicker. So that's definitely something we're working on.
So maybe as part of reworking what the policy would be, we could see if, depending upon workload, if we could have a presentation about what we already know, like what those back of the envelope calculations are, and you know what it would mean, because and how much a rooftop array will usually get you. If it, you know, what Tom Jackson was implying last night was that you know, if we, he didn't give any wattage numbers, but let's say if it's 200 watts and you have to expend $20,000 to get that, that gets to be very high per watt compared with these 2 megawatt projects. So though I would like to know what the real numbers are there. I'm just making these up. But I'd like to know. And then I think we can come up with a policy that makes sense. I was comfortable with the explore and consider engineering language. My difficulty was when legislator Litz proposed that it be, you know, a study, which basically means an engineering study, which is not usually that inexpensive. I think legislator Petit went in the direction that you're saying, legislator Green. You know, that let's have it really tight and focused so that we get it done. And I'm just asking if there's a way we can get it done without necessarily spending some of that money, and where we're not, you know, a rooftop seems like it might be the thing to utilize, but if the county owns rooftops and open space, then this, it might be a more effective use of the money to go another direction, and we ought to know that. We ought to get the most megawatts we can for every dollar that we spend. Is, I guess, what I'm saying.
Okay, any other comments? Let's see, any new business?
So did you vote on the postponement already?
Yes.
So I have one thing I just wanted to check in with the committee about in preparation for introducing a resolution next month. Food and Water Watch and others are working very hard in opposition to the dance gamma proposal to add energy generation down in Orange County near Newburgh and Beacon. And they've asked if we would weigh in on it. I have looked at those materials, and one of the things that jumped out at me is that this facility, which is an already existing facility, could do somewhere like 100 megawatts, I think it is, of battery storage. And there has been a little bit of talk about that, but not formal proposals. So I'd like to introduce a resolution in Ulster County in regard to this that supports Beacon and Cold Spring and other neighboring communities that don't want the new fossil fuel powered energy generation, and suggests that building on the success that we are anticipating and in the direction we've headed in town of Ulster, that they consider moving forward with a project that would be battery storage only. And I'm sorry Legislator Morrow had to leave, because one of the things I'd like to get a sense of is whether there would be support for us for a memorializing resolution for what's happening. I think it does affect our grid, and it might even affect our finances. I'm checking on that right now in terms of us being in the same district or zone, I guess it's called.
Yeah, we're in the lower Hudson Valley capacity zone. I just want to caution you that my understanding was that the company was considering putting battery storage in the existing facility if they got permission to build the new expansion. And that's a flood-prone area. And behind that is a hill. But that hill, I believe, is created as it was a coal ash landfill. Mm-hmm. So they built up that hillside. And I mean, I've thought about the same thing, but I think there's some technical issues with the site that we should consider before making that recommendation. And I could be off base, but...
The flood-prone aspect of the existing building was in the materials that I saw. And that is one of the things that the company is trying to use as a selling point for building a new facility, but the new facility does a lot more harm in other ways.
Yeah.
I think this is a problem with the way I framed it, which was use the existing facility for the batteries, but...
Maybe up above.
It could be that you put in, instead of building a new facility for energy generation, you put in a new facility for batteries.
Yeah.
If the existing site is bad, then that should be the proposal, not to use the existing.
And there's a precedent with GlidePath.
Yes.
Both of which I had the honor of bringing up to the Orange County Legislature earlier this evening. Let's see. So, you're going to look into that a little more, and be in communication with Food and Water Watch, and then possibly introduce it next month.
Right. Maybe what I'll do is draft it up and circulate it to the members of this committee for comments back.
Great.
That would be helpful. With the idea to introduce it next month.
Okay. Any other new business? Old business, Solid Waste Planning Commission. I think we're kind of caught up on that. We went over that. Climate Smart Committee. There was an amazing Climate Solutions Summit at SUNY New Paltz on the 21st, I think. And September 21st, and it had, more than a dozen workshops, four workshops, four sessions, and a panel, introductory panel. It was sold out, over 300 people, and I believe 75 of them were students, which was, just to have a quarter of an event like that include high school and college students was just amazing. The feedback on it was excellent. Let's see. One of the sessions was on storage. I think there's probably more work to be done. It was a 50-minute session. It was very helpful. And I say that because one of the Climate Smart Committee goals was to hold a storage educational forum. I think we probably still need to do that. And another goal was to do one on sustainable agriculture, that is regenerative agriculture and carbon farming across the river. Dee Dee Barrett has a bill for a pilot project. That is studying, actually gathering data on how much carbon sequestration or greenhouse gas sequestration can occur using regenerative agriculture. So I think those are two things potentially coming up, but actually coming up October 28th, we have invited a couple speakers, one of whom has confirmed. His name is Paul Fenn, and he was one of the founders of Community Choice Aggregation when it started out in California. He's now living in Western Massachusetts, and he's going to come and give advice to communities that are considering community choice aggregation. There's in Ulster County, many of our towns are considering that. Some have already adopted it, and we'll be co-sponsoring that with the Citizens for Local Power, and that is confirmed 6 o'clock, October 28th. And it'll really be an opportunity to share information so that as municipalities are considering this, they have the best available information and guidance.
And that'll be right here in our chambers.
Yes. Let's see. Trying to think anything else outstanding. I think that was it from, and we'll get you notes. We do have them. let's see. Anything else on anybody's mind related to energy and environment?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Meeting is adjourned in record time.
Oh, wow. 7:20.